The cross-border community nursery is going to open up today. It's turned an old site that was somewhat of an eyesore into a new garden for all to enjoy. And joining us this morning is the manager of Nature Glenelg Trust, Mark Backman, and the project manager, Ken Baker. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stan.
You could not wish for a better day to be out in the garden, could you?
No, absolutely. Now that the frost is starting to thaw out, I think we'll have a lovely day.
Yeah, we'll, and we'll talk to you about the opening ceremony very shortly. But Ken, whereabouts is it?
It's down at Vanstart Park.
And what is it? How would you best describe it?
Well, it's called the Cross Border Community Nursery, and the main aim is to sort of fill in the gaps that have been identified in native revegetation project.
Yeah.
Some of the plants that are missing from revegetation projects are missing because they're either hard to grow or hard to germinate.
These are plants that belong in this region, obviously.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And they're actually missing from revegetation programs because basically they're just commercially not viable to grow primarily.
Mm.
Or the growers just don't know, you know, the techniques for growing, for germinating. They haven't really cracked the code for germinating certain species. So the primary objective of the nursery is to try and sort of, work out ways that we can get those species into revegetation
programs. So when farmers, landowners, whomever are encouraged to replant native vegetation, the hard part is finding the proper plants. And this is where your nursery will help?
We can help in that process and tie together. You can find we're operating across the border, so you know, you talk to people over towards the South Australian side, and they're not aware of what's happening in the Victorian side and vice versa in some cases. So you're trying to pull together all the disparate bits of knowledge about growing a particular species of plant. Someone over in Malang might have worked out how to grow it, and they're still wondering how to grow it.
The growing conditions in Malang any different to what they could be, say, in Hayward?
Where the similar species are growing under similar conditions, like someone might have worked out how to grow the native tree violet, in South Australia and not. Just as an
native
example.
Native tree violet, that sounds beautiful. Is it a tree violet? Or is it
given?
I must come and have a look. Yeah. Mark, where did the idea come from?
It was one of those ideas that actually dates back to when Nature Glenelg Trust started about 18 months ago. And it was one of the first grant applications that we actually wrote. So it took a few months for that process to come through. So by mid last year, we knew that the project would be happening. And I guess there's been... as Ken's talked about, really, there's different aspects to the project. There's these knowledge sharing, communication aspects of the project that Becky McCann actually started for us. And now that the project swung into a very practical mode and getting, hands-on and the nursery site itself set up, Ken's been on board for the last few months. So the project has been a little while in the making, and there's been a lot of, and there will continue to be a lot of those communication and information sharing type aspects happen. But I guess from today, the great news is that we also have a very hands-on and practical place that people who are interested in seeing perhaps a bit of a window into a world that for an urban-based population in Mount Gambier or for other towns, people in other towns around the region who are listening in who'd like to come and see what this is about, well, there'll be opportunities for them to do that.
So what do we see when Vanstart Park? But what do we actually, whereabouts is it?
Whereabouts is it? For those people who know the footy oval there, we're actually backing onto the scoreboard. So on the opposite side to the grandstand, as you drive into the oval, in behind that public toilet block, there's a council yard there. And on that note, it would be appropriate for me to acknowledge the council, because without their support from day one and providing us with the site, this project wouldn't have access to the prominent location that we have there. It's just, and they've bent over backwards. The operational services staff within council, we can't speak highly enough of how supportive they've been. So, and obviously the other support of the Australian government, without this grant being provided to us from the Biodiversity Fund, just wouldn't be happening.
Wouldn't happen. Ken, did you have to do a lot of cleaning up beforehand? Was it a major task to get it all
clear? Yeah, it was fairly derelict. Mark said there was...
You could say that.
Asked me during the interview, was I good with a hammer? It has been fairly derelict. We've done a fair bit of work.
How long have you been working on it to prepare it to this stage?
Well, I've been there about 4 months, but Mark has been there quite a
while. Yeah, that's right.
A little bit of demolition started late last year, and then we had to get the council approval for the upgrade to the building. And really, since Ken arrived, the last few months has been, and particularly the last month, we've been flat out and happy to say that as of a couple of days ago, we're ready to go.
So. Ready for the grand opening later on today. Ken, what is your background in this sort of work?
Well, I've done managed various projects right around Australia, from the tropics down to King Island in Tasmania. So,
So you've seen this work elsewhere, obviously.
Oh yes, yeah. Very much so. I was formerly a nurseryman in the Northern Territory. Worked in. In commercial nurseries.
The Northern Territory, that's where the sun shines a fair bit, isn't it?
Yeah, but also in the summer you get a fair bit of rain as well with the monsoon, so
yeah,
presents interesting.
So, well, that's interesting because Mark, a good choice in Ken because he's coped with the different climates and conditions.
Absolutely. No, and, you know, as if you spend any time around Ken, as you do when we've worked some very long days there working on the building, you start to hear some very interesting stories. Ken has done a bit of everything over the years and his expertise and experience for the project is going to be, I think, a fantastic way of bringing together the people that are interested in this sort of thing around the region, cross-border, because, you know, as people get to know Ken, they'll really respect his knowledge. So.
But what sort of people are you expecting to turn, not just for today? I mean, generally speaking, what sort of people would come to the nursery?
Well, today's going to be interesting. We're not sure how many people will turn up because it is an open. We haven't asked people to RSVP. It's a lovely day, so hopefully people will come for a look. We think it will be appealing to both perhaps what we would consider as an environmental organisation, our traditional interested person who already has an environmental interest. But because this is it's prominent, it's in the middle of Mount Gambier. We're hoping we might attract a few other people who like plants and are interested in plants, but perhaps haven't had that same contact with the bush and nature out there. You know, we see this project as being, for us as an organisation, most of our work happens out there where you can't see it going on. Wetlands being restored on farmers' properties, surveys going on out in the bush. Here's a project that actually has a connection to the urban setting of Mount Gambier. We think that's quite unique.
Mark Backman is our guest this morning, manager of Nature Glenelg Trust, and Ken Baker, who is the project manager of the Cross Border Community Nursery, which is just a few hours away from being open. Where do you talked about the tree violet, Ken. Where do you get that from? Where do you access all this stuff?
Oh, well, so sometimes, I've had some seeds sent to me by Seawinds Nursery in Portland to ask me if I could germinate them. Mm-hmm. If I don't know how to germinate them, I'm looking around to find people who have had experience growing them. Steve Baum, who used to work, is it Steve Bourne? Steve Bourne, was telling me a few weeks ago that they'd worked out how to grow them about 10 years ago. And when I asked them for that information, they said, oh, it's on record here somewhere, but somehow it's got lost in the department. So I'd like to sort of, if we do discover how to grow that species in this area, because it can vary. You might be able to grow a particular provenance of that species in one part of Victoria or South Australia and not in another. There might be conditions that vary. It might grow at high altitudes in some area and require some sort of stratification, put in a fridge for a few weeks or something like that to get it going, whereas down here where it grows
we are a fridge.
Yeah, not as fridgy. Where it grows closer to the coast, it might require different sort of stimulus to get it growing. Liking to pull together all that information and sort of keep it the people that want it and need it can actually access it.
And would we, the people that want it and need it, Mark, would we pay for this service?
So I guess the short answer is yes. And this is one of the aspects of the project that we've had to be, and we're very conscious of being very careful with, because we don't want to be seen as we're essentially using government grant funding. Hopefully we'll have subsidised volunteer labour to help us grow these plants. But there will be a price on them because, the aim is not to provide plants for free. We have to make sure that the commercial growers aren't disadvantaged. And in fact, what we're hoping to do is as techniques become available through the community nursery, we actually offer the ability for those plants to be taken on by commercial growers if they can make it viable, so that we can continue to crack the code for more species. And so in that way, yes, there is a small commercial aspect to the project in the sense that it will turn over some money. It will never pay for itself because by the nature of the species we're focusing on, that's not a feasible goal. And right. that's where the volunteer help comes in and possibly down the track sponsorship and those types of things. We really want to be seen to provide a complementary service, something that's non-threatening to other growers and that really helps to fill the gaps. And in fact, you know, because we're a not-for-profit environmental organisation, we're really mission-driven. The focus for us is let's make the bush better, let's get better diversity in, out there in the revegetation going on in the region. Now, if the commercial growers can pick up more of that slack by making more of the techniques available to them, then all the better.
That's what I was wondering. They've got nothing to fear from you?
I mean, obviously, there's going to be, when anything new like this starts, there'll be some questions asked. But no, our short answer to you and to them has been right throughout that, you know, we're here to work with you and to help share information and to fill gaps and to better support you. So these plants will probably sell for a little more than what commercial growers sell plants for. So there's no undercutting going on or anything like that, reflecting the extra time that it takes to grow them. So that's the principles we're operating by. It's really and the reason I'm happy to explain this in detail to you now is to make that really clear to people is that we're not coming along as a sort of subsidised not-for-profit operation to try and do anyone out of business.
It's always a fear when, you know, good-meaning people in the commercial business hear about these government funds
exactly.
being sent out.
Exactly.
And they think, well, hang on a minute, that's what I'm trying to make a living from
exactly.
doing.
Exactly, yeah. So okay. we're just trying to make things better and complement without doing anyone out of a job, basically.
Okay, what's happening today?
So 1:30, we're having an official opening and we're very pleased that the Deputy Mayor has agreed to come along for that and be part of the formalities. It'll only be a short, short speech and then we'll be moving into the site, allowing people to look around, ask all of our staff that'll be on site questions. We'll have we won't necessarily need a really warm fire today, but there'll be an open fireplace and some tea and coffee and nibbles for people who pop in through the afternoon. We'll be open till 5. And on the half hour, there'll be a series of short talks given by different staff members from Nature Glenelg Trust.
So and could you see that as a fairly regular situation where you'd have things like today?
We're definitely intending to use the site for workshops and open days and things like that down the track. Yeah. It will depend on the nature of what we're doing at the time as to what is most appropriate and whether that site or we use the library already as a great facility for community events as well. This is a small site, so there'll be, particularly for Ken's project, workshops will happen.
This is where you can get your hands dirty.
Get your hands dirty, that's right. And as far as people who are interested in down the track being involved, there'll be an opportunity this afternoon for people to leave their details and then we can get back in touch with them. We're still in the process of working out exactly what the program for volunteering will look like. The site won't be open every day because Ken's got other things to do through the project, but we'll have set times when people can come in and participate in the project in a hands-on way, you know, throughout any given week. So, you know, it might be an afternoon here, you know, every certain day of the week. That we're still working out the program, but that's the sort of thing where if people would like to be actively involved in something on an ongoing basis, there'll be a chance for them to come down and be part of something very meaningful.
All right, gents, thank you very much indeed for your time and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Great idea. Cross-border community nursery. Now, our guest this morning is Mark Backman. Mark is the manager for the Nature Glenelg Trust. And Ken Baker, who is the project manager. And 1:30 this afternoon for the official opening.